Hello, this is Jacqueline Sanders Blackman. And in this episode, I want to share with you the top five requirements that need to be in every team agreement. You probably have listened to other episodes where I referred to team agreements, and also known as the working agreement or team norms, but that is the go-to document that helps establish your team culture. And being empowered teams, you need to define and establish your culture. What's acceptable and what's not acceptable? That's what we mean by establishing your culture. So if a new person joins your team, you point them to the team norms, give them an opportunity to get acclimated, and then also set up in a timely manner an opportunity for them to even help shape the team norms. Every member, even the newest member, should be allowed to add to the team norms and even question, challenge, and just add their own little spin to it. That's a way of making sure that there's inclusion and diversity built into your team norms. Now, to the subject at hand, what are the top five things as agile teams, empowered agile teams, you should have in your team agreement? Now, I'm going to pause as if you're listening to this live, and I'd love for you to shout out, what do you think should be on that top five list? Well, I bet some of you are going to say, make sure you have the ceremonies. Make sure you, and you might list out the five ceremonies of Agile. You might say, make sure you have roles and responsibilities clearly defined. Make sure you have the do's and don'ts of the product manager defined. There's just a list of things, maybe even the artifacts, how you write your user stories, how you story point. All of those things eventually should be in your team agreement, but they are not on my top five list. An agile team, like any other team, first has to make sure that they have a baseline of what it means to be a team. What is the proper protocol for being a team member? And one of the things that is up under this umbrella of the five things I'm going to list is making sure that you're a good team player. And the opposite of being a good team player is not being self-centered. And the reason why I bring that up, you might think that because you are a member of a team, therefore, you understand the basic rules of engagement. But if that were the case, then why, as an agile coach, am I always seeing and observing some of the golden rules of being a good team member being broken? And furthermore, the reason to document these in your team agreement isn't just for the sake of stating the obvious, but it's so that you have something that you can point to when you see some of the rules being broken. And the real reality here is that they will get broken in the heat of the moment when there's stress and there's pressure. You'll find they quickly get broken. Because it's just maybe some human nature. It's part of being defensive or self-defense. So these might not be bad people in general. And by and large, they might be great team members. But every now and then, they step over that line. They fall back on some behaviors that need to be addressed. Especially because in seeing them and having them broken, What you don't want is for these behaviors to become the norm. Anytime you're stressed out, anytime you're under pressure, you can break the rules of being good team members and being good to each other and creating a healthy and safe environment. So let me walk through one by one what those top five are. So number one, being a good team member, one of the rules that need to be stated is avoid being impatient. Avoid being impatient with each other. Avoid being impatient even with yourself. When you're working with a group of high-performing professionals, ambitious professionals, it almost goes hand in hand that there's a level of impatience. There's a level of urgency. But not everyone is at that same level at the same time or all of the time. And so there are times as a team member, it's very important that you give and receive the benefit of the doubt. And that's patience. A person who is about themselves is often gauging other people at all times based on their standard or what their capacity is. Not giving the benefit of the doubt that other people at a given or specific period of time may not have that same capacity. So be careful that sometimes the frustration that you're feeling toward others, especially I see the attitude of someone's not carrying their weight. Make sure you look at the long picture. Maybe right now they're not carrying their weight. Maybe there are special circumstances that need to be taken into consideration. And that's important. Giving and receiving the benefit of the doubt. And that will keep you from being impatient. So rule number one, let's make sure we exercise patience as a team. And when someone breaks that rule, we talk about it. Let's talk about number two, meanness. Again, you might be thinking, why do we even have to state these? Well, meanness, it may come across as unintentional because really it's coming from a place that is so subconscious that you don't realize. But meanness can come from a place where you do things that are hurtful because in a way you feel like the other person isn't up to the standard or the expectation that you might have. So notice the key word there is you might have. You are projecting your expectations on someone else. And because you think that they're not meeting your expectation, that they are deserving in some way of your meanness. Now, meanness can, again, it comes across as treating someone in such a way that they don't feel good about themselves, that they feel demeaned, that they feel disrespected. So meanness can even come in the form of when someone is talking, you're cutting them off. Not cutting them off because it's just a lively, light conversation, but cutting them off because you are dismissing what they have to say. You're doing it in a dismissive manner. Again, this is something that we need to acknowledge sometimes happens, but when it does happen and when it makes someone feel a certain kind of way, that we talk about it as a team. We acknowledge and we acknowledge what we don't want to become a norm. So when a person says, I felt like I was disrespected, then the individual involved that may have caused that feeling takes some ownership for that. And maybe that is a one-on-one conversation to talk about what works best as far as communication, or what was even the intent, and or at the end of the day, the person who caused the hurt feelings reevaluate their style and their delivery and even their timing. So, not tolerating meanness, no matter how stressed people are. Let's talk about number three. Envy, jealousy. Anytime, what we don't want to do is, and again, this is just what we are calling it, but they manifest themselves in many different ways. Especially it comes out when someone else is being acknowledged or is in the spotlight, and a team member undermining that spotlight because they want to redirect that spotlight on themselves. Not being able to celebrate someone else's success and achievement, not being able to promote, even be one someone that can initiate promoting someone else on the team. So that's something very important, is to separate what you want or what your expectations are as far as success and recognition for yourself, especially at a time when someone else is being recognized or celebrated. Make sure that you're willing to celebrate others as much as you want to be celebrated. And do it wholeheartedly. Do it from a genuine place. Okay? Number four. Something that we don't want to tolerate on teams is people who are being boastful. People that are always self-promoting. Now, we are all about feeling good about yourself, being able to, there's even times specifically during retrospectives or in demos and reviews where it's a celebration of individual achievements. We are all about that. You don't have to lose your own self-identity when just being a part of a team. And that's something that people often overcompensate because they're afraid if they're a team player, no one will notice their individual contributions. Well, erase that. In a healthy team, you'll be recognized as an individual as well as an individual that's contributing to the overall success of the team. But when you feel like you have to go out of your way, especially when it comes across as if you are stepping on other people. And this is something that I've seen very real. And my example is when people on the team often feel like there's that particular person that takes credit, takes a little bit of credit for anyone else's success, whatever the topic is. And I myself, as a coach, I've introduced a tool or a technique, and then later have someone take credit for that tool or that technique. Now, as a coach, I can be neutral. And I see that as someone embracing and championing that tool. But if that's your intention, but it comes across that you're not acknowledging the source. It almost feels like plagiarism. So acknowledge and recognize where you may have gotten the information, even if you put your own twist on it. Acknowledgement goes a long way. And then number five, last but not least, just being rude. Now, and I differentiate between being mean and being rude. Being mean is you do things that cause people to feel bad about themselves. And some people do that in order to make themselves feel good. They only feel good if they've made it very clear that other people are beneath them. Maybe even in the form of, you're not worth my time. You're not worth me commenting on what your concerns are. It's an air of worthiness. Whereas rude, just basic manners, is overstepping. Rudeness, I see, is very prevalent when I see someone in a meeting or on a call and they're doing what we know as filibustering. I've even commented sometimes, people who are in love with the sound of their own voice. They take over the conversation, they monopolize the conversation, and they present their information as the facts or the truth or reality, or I'm just being blunt, and there's no room for anyone else's interpretation on the topic. That's a form of just being rude. There's always room for further interpretation, for discussion, and just for overall impression. So those are my five topics that should be put on the table and at the forefront when we're talking about baselining a healthy team and team working relationships. If we do it on the front end, this is the one thing that I will say to you will be the benefit, is that later on, when things do get heated or do get tense, you'll have a common agreement that you can refer back to and use it as a mirror to maybe even the person who is the offender, and let them self-evaluate. Have I overstepped and maybe fractured or even violated some of our team rules? And if so, the most important thing that every team member making a commitment to the team agreement and a commitment to the team is willing to be humble enough to say when they overstepped, being willing to apologize, that goes a long way. But not without also acknowledging willing to work on themselves to avoid breaking the team agreement, which ultimately also encompasses the team trust and the bonds that hold the team together and keep the team together. So that is my tip for the day. I hope you found it helpful. And I'd love to see if there's anything that you would add to the top five or take away from the top five. I'd love to hear about your own experiences with team members overstepping the basic five. But with that, I'll end today's episode. Thank you for listening. Bye for now. I'm Jacqueline Sanders Blackmon.